Try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts. One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
Never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. That's Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
They're here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
This is the Fantasy Baseball Prospect Podcast, Prospect One. I'm your host, Chris Welsh. You can find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. On the Instagram is the same place. And at InThisLeague.com. The Patreon, InThisLeague.com. That's where it'll take you. Where my top 500 prospects are, where my dynasty list is, where you can get a top 200 prospect ADP. Yes, all of that is at InThisLeague.com and tons more. We've got the GroupMe rooms. Prospect One room is awesome. Our daily Barry Baker report of top prospects and just great conversation. You can have access to me and we do other stuff. I do breaks over there. We've got other sports. So come and check it out. InThisLeague.com. That's a Patreon. And that is where you can also support Prospect One, and thank you guys for supporting because it means the world. That's how the world goes round, my friends. Thanks for tuning into this episode where James Anderson from RotoWire is back with me, and we are going a little over an hour, and we're talking lots of prospects. That's right. We're talking about some of the biggest names that have been performing well and some valuation changes as far as like ranks go. You know, it's just prospect talk. It's like a prospect report, if you will, with James and myself. And I know some of you guys really dig that. So I know you will dig this episode. Some stuff to tell you guys about. Here's a fun thing. If you didn't already know, I have another article that just posted on The Athletic. And this one's a little bit different. This one was about, speaking of collecting and cards and stuff, this was about the brand new release of Bowman Baseball, the Bowman card set that just released. And I did, it was a dual article. It was all kind of about top, so, you know, good on them. It was me picking out some prospects that are out of this set that you should look to collect. The top names, kind of middle names, and a couple deeper names. And it was also entwined with my conversation with Drew Jones. So this is finally me putting a little pen to paper with the Drew Jones article. And it was also with Levi Weaver, if you've ever read anything he does on The Athletic, where he starts the article off and it's talking about the Topps spot house that me and him both went to. And this is more about what they were doing. And then it transitions into me talking with Drew Jones and then my picks for Bowman. So if you're not a card guy, the card stuff might not be interesting, but I do write some thoughts down about prospects. I mean, my idea of who to collect is me also breaking down some of the stuff I think that's really interesting with those guys. So you can check it out. It's The Athletic. You can say awesome, nice, kind things in the comments and whatever you want. But I've got that there. And I will be starting up every three weeks or so article, just doing prospects on The Athletic as well. So if you guys want to make sure you're tuned in,
I don't have like a promo code. It'd be awesome if I did so they could track maybe a little bit, but you can get it for like super cheap. It's like a buck or two a month. I'm on Rates and Barrels, so you could always use Rates and Barrels, athletic.com/Rates and Barrels. Sign up, and I will be doing like a, like I said, every 2, 3, 4 weeks, whatever it is. I don't think we've come to terms with it. It'll at least be once a month. I'm going to be doing kind of a prospect report and then probably some type of dynasty update here in the near future. So doing some stuff with them, thought you guys might want to know about it. It's fun. It's funsies. And of course, Rates and Barrels on Tuesdays, you can check out where we had a pretty good hit this week. We were talking about guys that are going to be coming up for the Orioles, and DVR had put on our sheet that it was like, he was like Westberg or Norby. And I jumped in and I was like, we got to put Joey Ortiz on there because that's my pick. And I didn't realize Eno was with me. And then what do you know it? Joey Ortiz gets the call up. So we were right about that. So you can check that out on Tuesdays. Those are all kind of your different prospect fills that I'm doing. But you know, that might be a little too much me, but just letting you know a couple of those things. This episode is also brought to you by, of course, Dennis Sidler at Sid's Graphs. Sid's Graphs has got a lot going on right now, not just one of the sponsors on Fantasy Pros for the home run contest, but as I am recording this, Dennis is doing a signing with Brandon Lau. That's right, Brandon Lau. Guess what's coming up next month? Taj Bradley. Taj has been most, there's a little caveats and stuff with that too. And there's a couple other awesome guys that are in the works that you can't quite talk about. Maybe some guys even out of like the new Bowman set that you might want to check out. So go and check him out. SidsGraphs.com. Jerseys, baseballs, bats, unique things. He's had the, I don't know if he has any more. One of my favorites was he got these like custom gold gloves made for Luis Robert. And I thought that was like the coolest thing ever. We actually did a raffle of one of those on my Break This League. Those are the breaks I do with our Patreon. Well, some like while back, but I thought those were like so cool. But you know, Jordan Walker, Michael Harris, those are some recent, Corbin Carroll, of course, all clients of his, always adding more. Dennis is nonstop. So go and check him out today at sidsgraphs.com. I don't think I'm going to bore you guys with a whole bunch of other stuff. We'll probably just get right into it. James and I cover a ton. We went over an hour. There's a lot of interesting performance stuff in there that's going on. It's just, this is a classic James and I conversation if that's what you're into. So let's just get right into it. James Anderson from RotoWire, Chris Welsh from Prospect One, and you, let's talk about some prospects, see what you guys think, and away we go.
Say, I like you. I like you so much, I'm going to make you my partner. All you have to do is find the gold, and I'll share it with you 50-50.
Prospect One.
There he is, my man, Real J.R. Anderson. It's James Anderson from RotoWire. That's a Twitter handle, Real J.R. Anderson. You can follow him there over on all of the killer and best, really the best in the business, prospect content you can get over at RotoWire. And he's just one of my dear friends. James, what is up, my friend?
Not much, man. I appreciate you having me on. Kind of semi-working right now, but worked plenty today, so cracked a beer, ready to hang out with my buddy Welsh.
Yeah, you could probably chalk up like work under the guise of doing this podcast, right? If someone were to hit you up, be like, yeah, I'm working. I'm doing Prospect One, the podcast time. So what? We're drinking a beer. Who cares?
Loose, it's not a big very deal. Loosely. I'm very loosely working right now.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I appreciate everybody that always says like, some of their favorite episodes are when you and I chat, and it means a lot, and I like that. But like, I don't want to, I'm always careful of abusing James's time and stuff like that and doing episodes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. And after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
And I always have to kind of like go and look. And I was like, oh man, James and I talked like just about a month ago. But then I realized was on Rates and Barrels. So I felt much better about abusing your time and getting you back on here because we had not done a little Prospect One recently. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to be going through a lot of just, it's kind of a prospect report here on Prospect One. We're going to be going through some of the latest all around the minor league world, talking about ranks, talking about valuations, and talking about all of the stuff that you would normally know, like Jordan Walker. I wanted to get this out of the way here. This also has a lot of like redraft implications, but Jeeves, I kind of went, I don't know what show it was I was on. I went off on one of the shows recently. I want to say it was probably the CBS Fantasy Baseball Today. But I went off on just the whole thing with the Cardinals and the whole decision-making with the Cardinals to bring Jordan Walker up to the majors, you know, on opening day to let him break camp with the team with all the same roster, essentially. And then to chalk things up that Nolan Gorman is the one that's keeping him off the team after he's hitting 274. And then the revelation comes out that if they keep him down for around 20 days, they can own one more year of contract service. Everything the Cardinals did in this pissed me off, and I thought it was really poorly played. But do you think there's justification when we look at Jordan Walker, who kind of became the default number one because Corbin Carroll and Gunnar Henderson came out? Do you think that there are some bigger holes in Jordan Walker's game that maybe justified this and maybe people need to pay attention to as a prospect? Or do you think this was nonsense?
I think people are overreacting a little bit the outrage. You know, I think he probably shouldn't have been up to start the year. I did a podcast yesterday, like a couple hours before he got sent down, and speculated he would probably get sent down soon just because his defense is the worst of all their outfielders. And they have good outfielders. They're not, it's not like they sent him down so that they could give just some scrubby guy in his 20s at bats he doesn't deserve. They just have too many outfielders right now, and he's the worst defender, and he wasn't doing enough with the bat from like an OBP standpoint to kind of make up for the defense. So there is the service time aspect, but you know, would you want a team to give a guy like that? Like if you're kind of arguing on the side of the player, like would you rather them open the guy up and give him a chance to just kind of take a job and run with it? Or just no matter what he did, start him at AAA and get the extra year control that way? Like,
I think it's,
you know, I think they did better by Jordan Walker than a lot of teams would have.
I think it's really convoluted though. Like to your point, if a guy's going to hit this guy hit 274, and maybe to their point, this is something I will acknowledge, that they probably went into this, you know, with hopes that Nolan Gorman was making the proper changes, but they had these hopes of saying, okay, listen, this defense might be behind. If it is behind, guess what we can do? We can throw him over and we could have him DH because that bat is in play. And that became a little bit less likely. And I think you have some old school baseball in play of like wanting to be committed to Gorman. So I'll give you that, but I would have liked it one way or the other. And I would have liked kind of like what you're saying, like just then don't bring him up. If it's going to be this loose and he's going to be sent down, then don't bring him up and keep him back down. I just don't think this is a good play. And I don't see the logic. I just see old school baseball, but the only other counter to the side of kind of what you're talking about is they clearly, again, Marmol just playing old school baseball, wasn't going to play him. So, okay, to that point, they clearly were just not going to play him in favor of guys like Dylan Carlson. Alec Burleson's been awesome. And if that's the case, then yeah, he's not going to learn anything just sitting on the bench all this whole time. But I feel like they mismanaged it. And that's what you hate to see, because I feel like in different ways, Joe Adell was mismanaged. Kelnick was very mismanaged in different degrees. But I feel like we have gone around. And by the way, obviously, Kelnick is going through the freaking roof right now. But there are so many ways we've seen mismanagement in prospect over the last couple of years. This is different, but it just kind of hits a little bit the same, that it's like, just doesn't feel like they had a clear plan. And it definitely caught, I mean, I don't have like shares of Jordan Walker that I'm coming from a personal butthurtness about. I just don't like it. And I worry about player development a little bit with it. But I mean, I guess you were already kind of on the side that he probably shouldn't have been here in the first place. So this isn't that big of a shocker to you.
No, I mean, if I were, yeah, so Nolan Gorman has been way better than I expected him to be. And so I don't know. I don't really mind any real part of how they did it, to be honest. I think they kind of gave those guys a shot to sort of, you know, citing Walker's batting average, you know, like he's last among all their outfielders in wins above replacement. So I would look at that more than anything. And like Nolan Gorman just outplayed him. And if Jordan Walker had outplayed Nolan Gorman, it'd be Nolan Gorman who'd be at AAA right now.
Yeah. And I get the Gorman side. The defense, like, I know what you're saying. I don't like, it was a third baseman. He literally made his move at the end of last year.
It's not like, I'm not saying like, oh, how dare he not be better at defense? You know,
it's just like, also, it's just a guy that like, he's not striking out 30% of the time. He's not hitting under 270. He's hitting over 270. He's still a couple bases, hit a couple homers. He's not walking, but he has played poor defense, and Nolan Gorman has pushed him off of it. It just, I think it has the bigger impact when we look at the top end of prospect list. So did Walker become your default number one? I don't really know. I don't know if we've talked about this. Did he become the number one? And what is your personal opinion of the state of the top end of your ranks, kind of with what's going on with Walker, Volpe turning it around, Lawler, Churio kind of pushing back up? Guys, we're going to talk about another guy who might be a top five guy here in a little bit, but what is the state of the top end of yours, and how does Walker fit it still?
With Henderson and Carroll graduating, I don't update mine like as when every guy graduates, so it still shows Carroll and Gunner up there, and it will until I update it in late May. But with those guys graduating, Walker would be my default guy. And it's not a tier of one. It's kind of a few guys. It's Lawler, it's Churio, it's Manzardo, it's several guys. And by the time I update my rankings, it might be someone I didn't even mention there. But I don't think it's going to hurt Walker's offensive development very much. And if people are like, I'm not any bit lower on Walker than I was before the season, but I might have been lower on him than some people before the season. So if anyone is panicking over this and like, oh crap, like I gotta flip Jordan Walker, like I would still treat him with the exact same amount of value as I would have before the season.
Okay, yeah, so then you answered kind of where I was going to go, is like, I know you don't do the ranks, and I know he's default, but I was going to kind of push you to, like, if you were to have to do it right now, would he still have that number one spot? And it sounds like he would have that, because if nothing's changed and he default went there, he would still
stay. I don't have anyone in mind where it's like, this guy has to be ahead of Jordan Walker.
You know? Yeah, and I would also point out in all of it, the last thing on the Jordan Walker side is, like, I don't look at this as a huge negative. And I know I threw around like Adele and Kelnick. It's not meant to be like that. And I hope people are like, listen, it's not blah, blah, blah. Of course, they're very, very different. And then Jordan Walker's floor of who he is as a total prospect, even what Kelnick is doing right now, it may be the best of all of them. But, you know, the holes in Adele's game are different than Walker's. Kelnick's were the same way. I'm treating this as a different situation. I don't look at this as like an offensive takeaway that he didn't have a bat that could stay in the majors. It truly was defense and an insane turnaround by Nolan Gorman, who, you know, spent that offseason at Driveline, learned how to hit high fastballs, and he's reaping the benefits of it. So there'll probably be a time pretty soon where they fix that. So I thought that would be appropriate to talk about the biggest news. The other huge news has been around starting pitchers in the majors right now of prospect wide. And I have gotten this question 400 million times. I don't even know why I keep getting it, because I think people kind of know where it's at. I want to get your take on this big three clump of starting pitchers. A, Taj Bradley comes up, dominates, curveball, one of the sexiest pitches out there. Nothing he could have done better, except then the Rays go, he could do some stuff better. And we're now going to have him start multiple games in the minors, so he's on a 5-day schedule. To me,
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
In this league.
Break it down.
Very LOL. It's very stupid, but okay, this is baseball. This is business. I think that is clearly what is going on here. Number two, Tanner Bibee gets the call up. Phenomenal. That 12, I don't know when I've ever seen a 12-6 slider, how he was working that, but he was throwing for strikes. Fastball was on point. That slider he threw 40+% of the time had 20. I think it was a total of 20 called strikes and whiffs on it, which was so stupid. He looked great and may stick around. And then finally, of course, Brendan Faught, who has still not gotten the call. I do personally believe he will be called up to start maybe Tuesday, Wednesday. Maybe they push Merrill Kelly because the Diamondbacks have a weird like Monday off and Thursday off. So maybe they give Kelly an extra day off, have him pitch Thursday. Brendan Faught comes up, whatever. But he has been one of the biggest names that's floated out there, but he's not there. So looking at the total talent, your valuations, how do you pair out Taj Bradley versus Tanner Bibee versus Brendan Faught?
It's probably Faught, Bradley, Bibee for me, but I could give you a different answer in like a week. Like it's not, I'm not adamant at all about any sort of ordering of these guys. Like they're all each start they make, with the exception of Faught, like each start Bradley and Bibee make in the majors is a significant data point. So, you know, we just saw Bibee, like, I mean, that could be Bibee's best start of the season, you know?
I definitely actually agree with that. I'm so excited to see this next start because clearly that if you watch the broadcast, the announcers were tripping over themselves laughing about the breaking pitch he was throwing and Statcast couldn't materialize it early on. And they were fighting. Is it a slider? Is it a curve? And then finally they like argued, this is a curve because it had such 12 to six action. But when you saw the behind the camera look, you could see it cutting even more, and it was labeled a slider. So I'm just in my agreement with you here is that pitch has now been seen. He can throw it for strikes. How are hitters when they get, and they've got this video enough to look at, how are they going to adjust? You know, how much are they going to sit on that pitch like these pitchers did before? There's a lot more data out there. So I also very much agree. It could be, very well could be his best start of the whole season as he is adjusted to, but that's why I'm so excited to see the next start. So I just wanted to add that really that slider usage, I think is so key to how he's going to be attacked in the next start.
Yeah, I mean, you won't get me to say anything negative about any of those three guys. So if anyone likes Bibee more than Faught and Bradley, then go nuts, you know.
But talk about Faught for a minute, because like I get people that someone tweeted me and was like, hey, I'm really proud of you, Welsh, for going at least 10 minutes without talking about Brendan Faught. And I think that was on Rates and Barrels or something, because I am pretty hyper-focused on it. And I'm fascinated by him from the stuff plus numbers being down, except he's in altitude, to him having more pitches per appearance than any of these other guys, and stuff that I liked more than anybody else. But I do a lot of talking about him, and I think he feels at the bottom of the list for most people because he's not there. So, I mean, what is it that you're still sitting on Faught above Bradley and Bibee after seeing them in the majors?
Well, I mean, I had Faught as my number one pitching prospect coming into the year, and he had his worst start.
Number one overall?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I don't think I knew that.
I think so. Yeah.
Over Grayson, over Tiedemann, Okay. Damn, good on you. All right, this is good.
But, I you know, his worst start of the year was his first start of the year, and in his four starts since then, he's picked up exactly where he left off last year. And I just think it's I think it's underrated how difficult the pitching conditions he pitches in are and how dominant he's been despite that. And I just don't think there are many pitchers who could come close to his level of consistent excellence at that level. And he can go deeper into games than all these guys. He can go deeper into the season than all these guys. I don't mind the team context at all. I just trust him the most. And what Bradley did in the big leagues took him from like around 50 overall in my rankings to, I had him at like 45 or so before the season. But like what he did in the majors took him from there to the point where if anyone wanted to say he's the number one pitching prospect in baseball, I wouldn't argue with you at all. And Bibee, just has, you know, that was an awesome start. You know, he wasn't dominant across every one of his starts at AAA or anything like that, but Guardians is a nice team context as well. They obviously have a great track record. His overall performance in the minors is pretty infallible. So I think they're all great. I haven't really seen anything to me that's going to change how I feel about Fott. So I'm going to stick with him. I think the fact that he is the best bet of any pitching prospect in the game, really, to log 160 innings this year, that's important to me. So that's kind of my case, but I think they're all up there.
You know, it's funny too, is there's a real scenario where, like, we're at May 15th and Taj Bradley and Tanner Bibee are not in the majors and Brandon Fott has a rotation spot for the rest of the year. And like, he's that guy. That's how fluid all of this is. And also the manipulation of it. Brandon Fott, an over almost 11 K per nine, 2 walk per 9. This is all PCL numbers. He's got a 3.91 ERA. Definitely has gotten a little inflated. It's, you know, just sitting around the fours, not to be exclusive of like the PCL, but it is what it is. And it's still a little home run happy. He's been experimenting. They had one start where he like didn't throw his curveball and he has got some really bad calls. I've watched like 3 of the 5 starts, every single pitch, and he's gotten some really bad ump calls as well. And it'll be interesting to see once he gets, you know, into a majors park and we get to see real data, like how much is this stuff going to jump up? But you know, he's a good bet. He's still in there. So let's talk about some more pitchers, because there are a lot of fascinating, fun pitching prospects that are out there right now. And I'm attempting, as we're going to be kind of going through the majors, especially over the last week and who's hot and who's popping up, I'm going to attempt on a week in to week out basis to not always talk about the same players, but it's just going to happen sometimes. Because Andrew Abbott has probably been the SP to talk about, him and the next guy we're going to go through. And they both happen to have gotten bumps up to AAA. So in AA, Andrew Abbott had that 20 K per nine, which was crazy, with a 1 ERA. He wasn't walking anybody through 3 starts. He then, of course, got bumped up, which is exactly what we wanted to see. We want to see him get up there, get a push up. He goes to AAA. His first start, he goes 5. He does walk 3, but he strikes out 7, giving up 2 earned runs, but only 3 total hits in that start. Everything has been popping and moving. So talk to me about Andrew Abbott, because this is a guy that I always try to be careful about short stints and of the proximity of, like, you know, okay, 4 starts, he's looked awesome. But everything he's done has deserved such a dramatic move in my eyes, especially in the SP market where, you know, coming into this year, dude, I had, like, you know, we're talking about clumps of guys. You know, there was the top tier clump, and I think that next one for me was kind of like Fott and Gavin Williams and Taj Bradley, Kyle Harrison. And then there was just maybe like 4 or 5 other pitchers outside from like 50 to 100 that I kind of dug. It was like Gavin Stone, Tink Hentz, a couple few others. But now I feel like you're getting guys that are pushing up and they're showing you their worth. And Andrew Abbott is that. So talk to me about Andrew Abbott and how big and how real this bump is on his production so far this year.
Yeah, I think he's closer to a sell high than a guy that I am just falling in love with or anything like that. So you know your prospects. Do you think you can name anyone on the Mississippi or Tennessee AA rosters, the Cubs and Braves AA affiliates? Do you think you can name any position players on those teams?
You know, I think I was just watching in Tennessee. I watched one of the games. Okay, so now you're going to kill me, because I went and watched. I watched the 14 strikeout game, and it is completely evading me who is on that team and who was watching or who I watched. Well, I will agree, it wasn't a good crew, but I feel like there were like 2 guys that were decent players. Are you going to give me a player or 2 that was decent?
No. But like, here, I'll we'll just pull that up. Okay. So, you watched the 14K game?
It was the 14 strikeout game, which I think was the Tennessee game, right?
So Milligan, Conley. Conley's probably, Cal Conley, probably the biggest name prospect on that Dublin Mississippi roster. He was hitting second. He
oh, that's the Mississippi game. Okay.
And then you have a Stevens, a Valdez, a Lugbauer, Philip, Vanell, Potts, Clementina. So a bunch of heavy hitters.
I do remember Lugbauer. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Your point. But, okay.
So my point is, like, two of those four teams he's faced are really bad by AA roster standards. The Rocket City roster he faced, Zach Neto, obviously a legit big time prospect. Neto had the better of Abbott in that matchup. I think he walked a couple times and, you know, he was not overmatched. He had two walks and a strikeout and a hit and an RBI.
Try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts. One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs by
30 days. Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at signos.com. That's SIGNOS.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
2 ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
And then Abbott dominated the rest of that Rocket City roster. Edgar Carroll, probably the best, the second best hitting prospect on that team, and that's a 20-year-old catcher who jumped high A. So, like, three pretty weak rosters at Double A. Plus, he made 20 starts at Double A last year. Plus, like, even in the best case scenario, he still has to pitch half his games in Great American, and there's no projection really in the body left.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Can't believe what fell. All your dreams just hops down the drain. Let's play some
in this league.
I think he is what he is from that standpoint, and the fastball's up about a mile per hour or so, one to 2 miles per hour from last year, and the slider is has been a dominant pitch for him so far. But the, you know, third and fourth pitches are just kind of okay. So I think he's like kind of moved into sort of clear, like top 150 range for me, and probably closer to 100 than 150, and maybe even inside the top 100, just due to the proximity aspect now and the fact that he's probably the Reds' fourth best starting pitcher in the org at this point. So he'll probably be in the majors at some point soon. But I see more of kind of like a number three starter for a number three real life starter who's going to pitch half his games in Great American Ballpark.
So, dude, that entire time, I cannot complain enough, by the way, about how difficult it is on Baseball Savant to get to the AAA numbers. I just don't understand.
Why don't they just put it like, why don't they just have it like a clear, like, link?
Just making, I don't know why I have to be Captain Jack Sparrow to wave the seas, to try to get to the golden treasure, to get any AAA stats. Make it easy and accessible. It might be 30 to 40% of your traffic. And I'm not even joking anymore because all AAA is there. This is my open complaint. Just make it easy to find. That entire time you were talking, I was actively listening and just trying to get to his damn page to talk about his AAA game. And I did get there. It's amazing that it took. By the way, they classify, because it's a very sweepy pitch, they classify it as a curveball of what he was throwing. Or at least that's how Baseball Savant classified. But I also kind of think this is similar to like the classification of Tanner Bibee's pitch, where within a millimovement, he can make it a curveball. It's a 12 to 6 curve into a slider. So this was his outing in that start. He was 56% fastball, which was averaging around 92, and really not impressive spin numbers.
That's like down from, I mean, you know, he was, yeah, well, go ahead.
Yeah, 93.8 was the max on the fastball. So that's what the real number we're getting. And the spin numbers did not even hit 2,300, which is lower, at least from what I saw in spring. So that's 56% usage on the fastball. 28% on the curveball, which is the breaking pitch, which we're talking about, that had an average 81, but it had a high of 3,000 spin on it. The most fascinating part about it was the whiffs, not as big as you would have thought. The whiffs were sitting at 30%. He had a 24% whiff on the fastball, and he had a 60% on his changeup, which he threw 15% of the time. 3 of 5 swings were whiffs. He had a bunch of called strikes on the fastball, and he ended up having a 28% CSW. That was the final number on that with a 31% whiff. But it's that sweeping pitch that I think has been so dominant, and I think we're seeing a lot of success with guys that can throw high amounts of those, whether you want to call it a sweeper, a curveball, any of those type of pitches, and he commands it really well. And that's what, coming back to it, like, I don't have him as a top 50 overall guy. I've kind of built up some excitement, but you kind of nailed it. I have him right inside the top 100. I put him in the tier of, this is a guy I think to get more excited about because the way the aggressive approach that he pitches looks good. The 3 pitches are going to keep guys off. He's getting huge swing and misses, and he kind of carried some of it over, but it did level out at AAA. So go ahead. You had any other thoughts after we kind of went through the Baseball Savant numbers on him?
Well, no, I mean, I think the sweeper is definitely something that he's kind of perfected, I would say, since like the start of last season until now. And I'm sure he just put a ton of work in with that pitch in the offseason.
Kind of reminds me of what Lodolo does, because Lodolo has got this big, like, it can just kind of hook through the bottom of the zone and stuff. And that's actually something similar. And I wouldn't be a shock if, you know, he got some of the work from Lodolo and learning how to pitch. I don't know that that's happened, but there's a similarness of how much he can, like, get that pitch to go through the zone.
Well, yeah. I mean, I like Lodolo, or even as a prospect, I like Lodolo quite a bit more than I like Abbott right now. But Lodolo, you know, Lodolo's got 37 Ks in 25 and 2/3 innings, but he's given up 6 home runs in that time. And like, that's just life as like a Reds pitcher. And it's not that you can't, like, Graham Ashcraft's been great and Hunter Green's been good. And like, you can definitely extract value there, but it's probably a bottom 3 team for a pitching prospect to be on. And the most concerning thing you mentioned is just that his max velocity was just a hair under 94 miles an hour, because Dylan White got me some data from AA, and he was saying the fastball topped out at 96 at AA. So if Andrew Emmett's just going to sit low 90s and touch 94, then, you know, I think him becoming a mid-rotation starter in the big leagues would be a pretty big accomplishment.
It's going to be something to monitor. You know, 3 good pitches could also be really good in relief, but I'm going to make a bet on it at least. Let me ask you, Andrew Abbott or Hayden Wesneski?
Wes Neske has been kind of a pain in the ass this year.
He has been a pain in the ass.
Because I have him on my bench for all his good starts, and I have him in there for all his bad starts. I'm going to go with Wes Neske. But I, you know, I think that's a good name to ask about. I think.
Okay, let me throw this one there real quick. I didn't have this guy on the list today. This is going to save the talk and probably about next week, but we're going to you and I are going to pat ourselves on the back a little bit, because I think you and I had kind of led this train the entire offseason. Cade Horton has been awesome. 14 strikeouts in 10 innings. He has not given up an earned run. He is in single A, though, so it's a little bit overmatched. Horton or Abbott?
Horton.
Okay, that was pretty easy for you.
And I mean, he's awesome, and he's not going to be at single A for much longer at all.
No.
I mean, Horton could finish there at double A very, very easily.
Okay, let's go to the next one here. But can I just, again, open ask, just like make a triple A, make a minor league tab on baseball.
I mean, we got to talk to, like, I'm sure, I feel like Jesse Roach and like Chris Clegg just live on the Baseball Savant AAA
how do they do
stats
it?
Page. So we need to get them on for a crash course. And
yeah, I can get there, but like I'm here now. But it's just like make it easier. You got to go. And there's a whole thing. I had to have somebody walk me through how to like even find all of the stuff. And then it's like such a thing.
I remember Eric Longenhagen had like a how-to tweet like 3 years ago or something that I like bookmarked.
Yeah, that you can go and you can put just, in the game tag.
It's like you're ordering off the secret menu or something. Like, why don't you just have it in like a drop down? Like,
It's like it's a geolocation games. It's like, okay, I got the thing. Let's go here. We got to leave a red trail here. It's crazy. It's craziness. But let's talk about a guy who just also made a AAA move up. Or I think he just got the call. I don't think the start has happened yet. But we're talking about Gavin Williams. Gavin Williams in 3 starts in AA so far, a 12.5 K per night. Maybe he didn't get that. I thought I saw that he got the AAA call up, but maybe I'm crazy. He hasn't made the start yet. But dominant, 6.63 ERA, XFIP still 250, 12.5 K per nine, under 2 walk per nine. Looks the part of everything. It's not fair. The glut of riches here. Do you think Gavin Williams is in this conversation of being the number? Because I know you're having this open, fluid kind of like you wouldn't argue if like someone wanted to say Tosh Bradley's a top guy. Where do you think Gavin Williams sits in this conversation of not only the guys we talked about, but I feel like since you kind of clumped a big group, we have to obviously mean that like Ricky Tiedemann and Yuri Perez is in there. How does Gavin Williams like mix out of that, especially with this insanely dominant start to the season?
Yeah, he would be. I still like Gavin Williams more than Tanner Bibee. I mean, they'd be
same,
probably within like 10 spots of each other, but I like on the overall, not among pitchers. But I mean, Gavin Williams is just it's kind of a frontline SP monster strikeout package. And we'll see if he can be like a 180 inning guy or not. But he's got such a high ceiling for fantasy, and he's got the size I like. Just really like the way he goes out there and just bullies guys. So I still like Fott more. I think based on what Tosh Bradley has done, I'd take Bradley over him, but I'd take him just ahead of Bibee at this point. So
what about Ricky Tiedemann versus Gavin Williams?
Yeah, I mean, I think Tiedemann maybe that's a tough one. Tiedemann versus Williams is tough.
I'm Tiedemann, but it's
probably I think I'd probably stick with Tiedemann too. I had them. Let's see, I had them probably. I had them five. I had them 2 spots apart on my last update. So, I don't think anything's changed to move Williams over Tiedemann, but I think they're both awesome.
Have you ever had this many starting pitchers? I'm using arbitrary numbers here. You correct me. in your top 25. Like, I feel like there's like 7 or 8 guys that live in that top 25 or 30. And the amount of years you and I have been doing this and talking, I don't really ever recall like this big of a group of starting pitchers having this high of evaluation.
Well, I've got 6 guys in the 18 to 25 range, but I don't have anyone higher than 18.
Okay.
I think it's about, I usually kind of have a run of starting pitchers sort of in that like 20 to 30 range. So, I mean, it's fun just sort of, you know, we're seeing these guys come up like once a week and there's more guys on the way and there will be kind of throughout the next couple months. So it's really fun.
Okay. So Gavin Williams up there, he's in that top tier. Do you think we're going to see him this year?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, if we don't see him this year, it's because he got hurt. And I think I look at that Guardians rotation and I think they're just going to be like full on. We're going to just drop our awesome pitching prospects on the table and win the division that way. Because like Zach Plesac, Cal Quantrill, what are we doing here? Like, do you guys want to miss the playoffs? I don't think they want to miss the playoffs. So I think they're going to make that upgrade.
Okay. A couple more pitchers to talk about. This is a tiny bit deeper. I have been a little bit, I haven't talked about him in quite a while, but I did talk a lot about him in the AFL. And famously, I've talked with Jeff Ponce about this a whole lot because, you know, he's had some weird experiences and whatnot, but the guy I'm talking about is Carson Wisenhunt. He gave me some, I think me and him joked about it the last time too, where I was oohing and aahing about Carson Wisenhunt, and then Wisenhunt, like he can do, absolutely got lit. And there's, you know, there might be some other stuff that's circling around him as well that we won't talk about on here, but Carson Wisenhunt so far this year, my point to this has been awesome. Just got a call up to high A. He was in A ball. He's a 22-year-old. He was suspended previous year, but he went over to the AFL. He showed off one of the best changeups I've ever seen.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey.
In this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
I like laughed in his face during the AFL about his changeup. And we were talking about it for a second. It's one of the best changeups I've seen. And it's been on point. 13 K per nine, only an A ball, of course. Little over 2 walk per nine, which has been a little bit inflated. Left on base percentage is actually lower than you would expect. So that not working in his favor. Really high BABIP, so some luck not working in his way. But 3.29 ERA, 2.76 xFIP. Any thoughts on Carson Wisenhunt and that really dominant start? At a very low level, though, I love his changeup, but I just don't know if he has starting pitching arsenal that's going to be able to maintain. But, you know, this is one of the few guys that's already gotten a call up early on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to give you like a bad answer here, but I just don't really care about what he did at A-ball. Like, it's just, you know, anyone with a good changeup is going to dominate A-ball hitters. Any good college pitcher in A-ball, like the guys at A-ball are just, it's not, both on the pitching side and the hitting side. Like, if, you know, it takes a guy being like an 18-year-old and like 60% better than league average for me to really care what anyone's doing in a small sample there. So, I mean, there's other guys like that we might talk about later who are 3 years younger than Wisenhunt who have been good at single A. Let's do that.
I think I know who you're alluding to. And I was going to test you on this. And then how about, like, we did talk about him last week, but you off air kind of mentioned this. And I was like, this is great because this is someone that I'm getting even more and more excited about. And it's Frank Mazzucato. Mazzucato's an A ball, and Mazzucato, an insane 15.5 K per nine. His walk rate is stupid, though. It's almost 5 per, but he's 0.6 ERA, and even his xFIP is still under 3 right now. And he's 20 years old, so he's 2 years younger. This is the difference between a college seasoned pitcher in Carson Wisenhunt, who was also suspended, versus a really dominant high school pitcher who had, I think, a kind of a slow start to his professional career. And he hasn't even turned 20 yet. He's 19 years old. So he kind of stood out to you, stood out to me last week. Where are you at? Are you with me on Mazzucato that he's like a very fast riser right now?
I am. And he was kind of a guy that I was really interested to see how he pitched early this season, because he quietly was really dominant towards the end of last season, and was obviously, you know,